800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach out at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to reach out on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
It certainly is. We're about to update you with Richard C. Hoagland on what's going on, or what we think might be going on, way down south in the Antarctic. I received this a little bit earlier today. Hello, Art. What a program tonight, referring to last night's with Richard. I'm one of the OAEs, Old Antarctic Explorers, part of the winter crew of 1972-73. I was a radio operator with the U.S. Navy, RM3, before satellite, lots of blackouts. I have difficulty believing in the public reasons for the flights you've discussed. We were severely tested, both psychologically and physically, before being allowed to inhabit Antarctica. Whatever illness overcame us, we were expected to ride it out after February until wind fly in August or September. We'll explain that. No aircraft would land before then. Live or die, we were part of something bigger, more important. Illness was practically unknown after the, in quotes, summer crew departed. Our white blood cell level crashed. There was no need of them. But almost everyone became sick with what's called wind fly and its introduction of outside bugs. I became very sick after the first flight in August/September of 73. This recent occurrence you've discussed happened in April, 2 months after departure of summer folks. The winter crew should be sailing happily along, free of disease. It makes no sense to me that they should find themselves sick now. This is when we found ourselves the healthiest. My take is that something has been introduced to McMurdo. So, what has flown into McMurdo since February? Flight records should be available. What and from where? Signed, Larry, RM3, Radio Man, Third Class, somebody who was there and should know. There is late breaking news with regard to what's going on at the bottom of the world. We'll get right to it. Coming up shortly, Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth, and, or is it McBeath? I've got it straight again. And we're going to do electronic voice phenomena, voices literally from the grave, voices you can hear. But right now, and following up on what we did in the first hour yesterday, something not so good, we think, is going on down in Antarctica. Here with the latest is Richard C. Hoagland. Did you hear that email I just read from somebody who was down there?
Absolutely. It squares exactly what we were saying last night, that this is absolutely so abnormal, so anomalous.
Right.
And when he thinks that they got the disease by somebody flying in, obviously any other contact other than the people at the base would give you, quote, a disease, if we're talking about some kind of medical disease, an infectious pathogen which is being spread from person to person to person.
Well, going back to the one thing that we were a little unsure about, at least I was yesterday, you know, the pillar of salt thing.
Mm-hmm.
We do have something. I sent you, I think, a critical email earlier today about the salt.
Yes. And I think this person is very much on to something, and I found something else tonight which kind of coincides with it in a very surprising but confirmatory way. But before we get to that, let me give you a report kind of live from New Zealand.
Okay.
We have three agents. You didn't know the Enterprise mission had agents, did you?
No.
We have three sources in New Zealand tonight.
I think you probably ought to call them sources, Richard.
Well, the other guys are listening. Why can't we have agents?
You know how they write on the Internet. You
oh,
create
let them. Gosh, I love it when they write that stuff. Oh. Anyway, so we have sources. And they're very good sources. In fact, one of them, if we get what we think we're going to get, I'm going to strongly recommend that you actually interview him on the air, because he is a journalist, a professional.
No problem.
And he is digging, and he deserves to be, you know, heard in and of himself. But until he gets something good, we're going to keep him under wraps so we don't blow his cover. But he just sent me an email in the last, 10 minutes. Hi, Richard. Following phone call made to Raytheon's John Shreve, That's the general manager of Raytheon's Polar Service that oversaw the extraction flights.
Yes.
In New Zealand, he confirms that two U.S. personnel are in Christchurch Hospital in, quote, critical but stable conditions.
Critical.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting.
With what?
He won't say, and adds, quote, they are expected to pull through. Shreve claims the salt was, quote, because they'd run out of cooking salt at the base.
Now, this is early in the year. Everything was just closing down, or it closed down. No more flights in.
No, the end of
February
is the last.
Why the hell would they be out of salt already?
Exactly.
I don't believe that. Salt is critical to human life. They would have enough of a supply of salt there to last, you know, until the next plane comes.
No, because it's life-threatening if you don't have salt.
No,
in fact,
no.
Do you know, Art, that they have IVs prepared for people who have dehydration from lack of salt?
Yeah, I know. For those people who don't know, there was a message sent to the doctor who was coming in to replace the doctor coming out.
Her name is Betty Carlisle, by the way.
To fill her pockets with salt, that they needed salt. Well, we may have been born yesterday, but it was early yesterday.
All right, let me continue with the update. Yes, thank you. With the update on these patients, then we'll get to the good stuff.
Yes.
Christchurch Hospital, my source continues in this email, is currently maintaining a neither confirm nor deny stance on the conditions of the American personnel because of New Zealand's privacy laws. But I am pressuring them, he says, for an answer on whether radiation poisoning is a factor, and the Canterbury Health Board's lawyer has been asked to give an opinion on whether providing such information would be a breach of the privacy laws.
And why are we asking about that? Now we'll get to the facts that I got earlier.
There's one more paragraph.
Yes.
There is currently, this is really bizarre, everything about this, Art, is not situation normal.
Right.
It's like improv. It's like amateur night. It's like somebody is making decisions and putting out stories on the fly, not thinking of their reverberations 2 days later.
Right. Go ahead.
Listen to this. There is currently some confusion within the hospital about exactly where the critical but stable patients are. But we're expecting an update shortly.
Oh, this is getting stranger and stranger.
How can you lose patients who've just flown in for the first time in history from the Antarctic?
Well,
in a small hospital.
Maybe they haven't lost them. Maybe they're in some sort of severe isolation.
Exactly.
They don't want to talk about it.
That's what I would infer from that.
Mm.
All right? So now let's get to your email, because this fed into a whole line of reasoning and questioning, which I think is going to be very productive.
This was sent to me earlier today, and I fired it off to Richard right away. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I thought you would read it. I don't have it.
You don't have it?
Well, I have it here. I just don't have it up on the
screen. I don't have it.
Okay, someone who obviously will not name says that when she heard us discussing this last night, little alarm bells went off.
Yes.
Because the phrase, you know, fill your pockets with salt, she claims is a code word in the nuclear industry for a nuclear accident where you have to take iodine tablets to basically, you know, zap the thyroid as a protection against radiation overdose.
Right.
And that in the absence of iodine tablets, they substitute, get this, Art, iodized salt.
Uh-huh.
So if there had been an exposure, as she thinks might have happened down there, although she doesn't have the mechanism, to unusual radiation, and the workers needed to do something in an emergency to protect themselves until they could get flown out?
Yes.
That could possibly account for the abnormal usage of salt, because they really were trying to get the iodine into them to get it to their thyroid.
All right, now the $64,000 question. See, I'm old-fashioned. Now you got to go for $1 million. But $64,000 question really is, hey, come on, folks. This is the Antarctic, right? There's not supposed to be any nuclear stuff down there.
The last nuke that we had, which was the reactor that powered McMurdo,
yes,
was taken out in 1993 or 94,
earlier. So then where, pray tell, would the radiation even come from?
Exactly. Well, our emailer thought that maybe if they drilled through the ice in Vostok, that there was some kind of radioactive heat source that was keeping the lake warm, And I can pretty much discount that. That is, even if there was, it would be so low level that you would never notice it. It would not give you radiation damage or exposure.
Next guess.
But this triggered a memory, all right? In the 1960s, going up to the 70s, our good old U.S. Atomic Energy Commission began several studies, and actually in 1972 was issued a patent. And everybody copy this number down. I'm going to give a number out now. Pencils ready. U.S. patent number 3,693,731.
Okay.
Issued on the 26th of September, 1972,
yes,
for something called a nuclear tunneling machine, which is basically a big nuclear reactor encased in something like tungsten carbide or cadmium or, you know, some impervious metal,
yeah,
through which you circulate the cooling fluids from the core reactor, and you basically put this in rock or on ice, and like a hot knife through butter, it will melt its way down until you turn it off. It's kind of like a controlled China syndrome.
Yes.
And the scale of these things was enormous. They were talking about the ability to very cost-effectively produce tunnels that were between 20 and 40 feet wide.
Wow.
Now, if you wanted to bring out big high-tech stuff...
I don't understand, though, how the cooling liquid could get hot enough to melt rock.
Well, no, because it reaches several thousand degrees. I mean, have you ever seen what goes on inside a nuclear reactor?
Oh, yes.
If you don't moderate it.
You were just talking about the cooling liquid.
Well, in other words, when you circulate fluids through the core,
yes,
and duct them to the exterior surface, some kind of... Think of the shuttle. The shuttle has tiles to protect it from the exterior heat of reentry, right?
Right.
If you reverse the process and you had something really hot inside the shuttle and you had pipes, cooling pipes with fluid running to the tiles,
right,
you could heat the tiles up and cool the interior. It's basically
anyway, it doesn't matter because it would obviously go through ice like a knife through butter.
But this technology would go through solid rock.
Okay.
In fact, there were several studies. There were studies done in 73. There was a national conference done in 86. And we don't know whether they produced an actual machine. But in order to get patents, the patent office is kind of quirky. They want to see that gadgets work. So they usually demand that you have a working model. So in 72, the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission, before the NRC was renamed, got this patent. 3,693,731 is the number. So this technology is out there and has been developed over the last 30 years. If you wanted to quickly get through that ice, or 2 miles of ice,
that's how you might.
This would be the perfect way to do it, because one of the
studies shows... That would account for radiation. Okay, well, this is then one possibility of what could have happened. We're kind of out on a little bit of a limb here, but something obviously has happened down there. Remember you talked about bacteria thriving in the lake, Richard?
Yes.
Okay, I've got posted up on my site under your name tonight an Associated Press article from 98 saying, bacteria discovered thriving inside frozen Antarctica lake.
Yep.
And they're saying the finding fuels hope that life may exist on the frozen moon of Jupiter or the polar ice caps of Mars, and on and on and on. So what you said yesterday is verified by a story back in 98 that we've got up there right now.
Well, that's when the Vostok drilling went down within a few hundred feet of the bottom of the ice before they broke through to the lake.
Yes.
And then they pulled the cores up. They sent the cores to Soviet Union, Russia, actually. They sent them to Marshall Space Flight Center. They sent them to the University of Montana. They published in the December Science magazine of that year a major study on the microbes. They found familiar microbes as well as absolutely bizarre, never-before-seen microbes.
Like we're seeing pop up around the world, right?
That's right.
All right, so we've got many more than should be sick, especially critically sick. Nobody's talking.
Well, see, this would explain. Remember last night we're saying, look, if you catch a disease, the last thing you want to do is bring it to a population center like Christchurch.
What you think, yeah.
Where you can spread it all over the world,
right,
with jet travel.
But if it was radiation.
If it's radiation sickness, Art, you give them stopgap measures, you get an air flight in there as rapidly as possible, You bring them out. You isolate them. They don't know where these guys are in their own hospital tonight.
All right, listen, let me tell you. I got a million emails. Some people said, ah, it's nothing more than some Raytheon employees who got fired. I got one that said, oh, there was a big bar fight down there. Somebody got drunk. You said two people in critical condition, right?
That's what the official spokesperson for Raytheon confirmed tonight. Critical condition.
Okay.
And
all
remember,
right,
there were 11 that were taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the best place to treat radiation sickness is in civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have the drugs, they don't have the preparations at McMurdo, even though they have a good hospital,
right,
since there's no radiation on the continent. Now, all the environmentalists listening to us tonight, and the people who follow the treaties, and you know, people from other countries, should be thinking carefully. If somebody has gone in with a clandestine black project and used nuclear technology to, by the brute force mechanism, get through that ice to get something, then there's a lot of laws and treaties which have been broken, and of course they're going to try to keep this secret. The other weird thing, Art, is that the doctor at the South Pole,
right,
the other medical emergency,
right,
he doesn't want to come out.
Now he doesn't want to come out.
No, New Zealand Television was reporting all day today that he wants to stay. Now think about this.
What?
Who is the first guy who would encounter cases of radiation poisoning on the pole if they happened? The doctor.
The doctor,
right?
Yes, of
He'd
course.
Be the one treating them with these stopgap measures. Why do you think he doesn't want to come home? Because if he comes home, they'll put him in a sealed room and throw away the key. Whereas if he's at the pole, he has freedom for 5 months. And maybe somebody doesn't want him talking, so they're flying airplanes in to get pick him up against his own wishes. This thing just gets stranger.
It is.
And
it's stranger and stranger. You're right. What in the hell is going on down there? We're certainly not getting the straight story, you know, from people who are down there. And I don't really expect we will. It may even be that the majority of them don't know what's going on themselves.
Somebody does know.
Somebody knows, yeah.
Hopefully they will call you, they will email you, they will email us. We were asked, by the way, last night after we posted our story on the web, just go to Enterprise Mission and go to the first new article called What's Happening at the South Pole.
Yes.
We were asked to join 70 South.
Oh, now that's an honor. 70 South, really.
They have put up our story with a link on their site as one of their stories, and they formally asked us today to exchange links so that we will put 70 South on Enterprise, which we have done, and they will put Enterprise on 70 South, they have done.
I see.
And that, of course, gets us into the conversation. Remember what Sagan said years ago? It's not whether you're right or wrong, sir. You're not even in the conversation.
Now, the only problem is every time we say 70 South, the site goes down.
They'll have to go to a bigger server.
Yeah, I think so.
The point is that we're in the conversation now, and somebody knows. Somebody has a brother or a sister or an uncle or an aunt or a father or a cousin who they love and care for, and they are under threat tonight because somebody is doing weird things and not leveling with the rest of us who are paying for them.
Well,
I
certainly don't want to unnecessarily worry the relatives of people who are down there, but there is something really, really out of line going on, and there's no reason in the world why the officials at Antarctic before these men left wouldn't tell us what was wrong with them. They talked about issues of privacy, and now we've got them in New Zealand. We can't find them. They're critical condition, and they still won't tell us what's wrong. Now,
see, these are public employees.
Yeah, something's wrong.
It's not like they're running Carnival cruises.
I know, but these are still human relatives out there.
No, I'm talking about the Raytheon people
who
were brought back.
Yes.
They are public employees. Their salaries were paid by U.S. tax dollars through the... Oh, by the way, in 75, guess who did another study on the nuclear tunneling device?
Who?
The National Science Foundation. The same people who are funding the Polar Program with your tax dollars for the U.S. Congress did a study in 75 on the feasibility of nuclear tunneling technology. And they're the people who are paying the Raytheon folks.
Okay, Richard. We're out of time. And I'm almost glad. I can't stand any more of this. We'll get an update from you probably tomorrow night or if you hear something in the middle of the night, call me.
Of course.
And I'll get you on the air. Whenever it happens, we'll get you on, all right?
Okay, Art.
All right, watching the southern part of the world. Thank you, Richard. Good night.
Good night, Art.
There definitely is something wrong at the southern tip of our world. There's no question about it. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.